Hello and welcome to Music Works, a podcast by Polyphony Arts. We're talking about the future of the classical music industry with some great guests. Thank you for joining us. Hello, welcome to Music Works, a podcast by Polyphony Arts. I'm Katie Beardsworth and this week we're talking to Ella Jarman-Pinto. Hi Ella.
Hi Katie. Hi.
Thank you so much for coming. Ella is a film and TV composer. And we've been working together for a while now on various projects, including writing the music for this podcast. So I'm very excited to talk to Ella today about various things to do with podcasts and composing in general. So where do you want to start? Shall we start by talking about... So Ella has also recently started a podcast.
Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing. It is definitely my favourite podcast that I've ever listened to.
Wow, that's so kind of you. That's like so kind of you.
It's absolutely brilliant. It's called Beyond the Chameleon. And do you want to tell us a bit about it, Ella?
Yeah. So Beyond the Chameleon is one of those ideas that you get in your head that you can't get out of your head. And it's like you can find your feet walking towards a cliff edge and you don't really know why you're keeping going in that direction. But hey, you need to go in that direction. That's basically this podcast for me. just absolutely driven to create this podcast. And it's about, it's called Beyond the Chameleon, Conversations on Belonging in the Creative Media Industries. And the first idea for it came when I read the statistics of female composers in the TV and film industries. And, well, I think it was film for this one. Basically, really, this person had really kind of created a very succinct list of the stats of women in the industry and female composers, which is like down there. Basically, I was furious. I was absolutely furious. I was thinking, like, what is the point? You know, what is the, I don't understand why women aren't in this industry. Because women in this industry, women in the world are 50%, you know, and women create incredible music. And if you don't know their music, then you need to know their music. And if you know their music, you need to hire them. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Indeed.
I mean, there's no, are you female? Can I work with a woman? It's like, anyway, so that was my first sort of indication of, yep, okay, this is, you know, similar to the rest of society that, you know, there's this pay gap, gender gap. But then also I read Brené Brown's book, Daring Greatly, and I just basically had my mouth hung open for the entire thing, going, that's me. Oh, I get it. Oh, I get what's been going on for the entirety of my life. And at the same time as reading this book, George Floyd was murdered and Breonna Taylor was murdered. So Breonna Taylor is my catalyst. But in no way do I feel that George Floyd should be, you know, a lot of people say, oh, he's not the right person to look at because he was a criminal. Nothing to do with that. This man's life was taken away in the most brutal way possible in public, filmed on TV, and then that image was distributed around the world for people to watch. And people who are consistently oppressed to watch someone like them being murdered does not matter about his record, does not matter at all about who
Absolutely,
he was.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's what he represents. But Breonna Taylor, for me, is... the woman who died before him, the woman who was murdered before him, I think she was either a nurse or a paramedic. And she was basically murdered in her bed, in her own bed while she was sleeping by police who were in the wrong house. And they then found out that they already had their suspect in custody. So it's just horrific. It's absolutely horrific. And I was brought along with the wave of Black Lives Matter. I really was. And I realized how much I had been hiding behind. I grew up in a white society. I grew up in the northwest of England. It's predominantly white here. You know, I grew up being asked if I was a tourist or, you know, you don't belong here. But because the situation around me and where I live made me think that I did belong because I did relate to other people in a way that I felt I could relate to them, but then they were turning to me and go, but you don't relate to me because your skin's a different color. Whereas I'm not looking at my skin when I'm looking out of my eyes. I'm just being me. But I found that I realized that I had really been hiding and, you know, I'm more outspoken than most of my friends, but still less outspoken for who I really am. And I have lost friends before, you know, I've certain friends who we were talking about, you know, the oppression of women through society, and it was me against the rest of the room. And I was like, well, I don't need to talk to you again. Walked out, never came back. Brené Brown really enabled me to realize the power that I have inside and the way that we need to have these conversations. We need to bring this out into the open. It cannot be a secret anymore. It has to be something we talk about because people are being murdered. Whether that's Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, whether that's kids being killed on the swings, whether that's kids being killed as they walk home from the sweet shop, Trayvon Martin, whether that's women being stoned to death in, I can't remember the exact example that I'm thinking of, but, you know, that is happening every single day in countries around the world. People, women, Black people, trans people, LGBTQI people are being killed all the way around the world, and we're acting like it's okay. There's, you know, and for me, I'm there going, the only way to change this is to have the conversation. And I want to have the conversation in the TV and film industry because that's the industry I'm in. And it's also the industry that has such a huge amount of power. Mm. And if we can get people to have those conversations and bring those conversations in front of and behind the screen and post-production, you know, and as a composer, I mean, like, you know, there is the selfish side to it too. I want to be involved.
Of course.
You know, but if we can have those conversations, then things will change. It's only by feeling the fear and not having those conversations that people are oppressed and that things don't change. So yeah, so that is like the real heavy nitty gritty, you know, reasoning behind this podcast. And I have to say, in the 6 episodes that I have recorded so far, I have learned a huge amount. I've spoken to Shabnam Rezai, who works with Big Bad Boo Studios, is a co-founder of Big Bad Boo Studios. And she does 2D animations for children and makes sure that there is really good representation. It's not just representation of a token child who is a different ethnicity. It's representation of their entire families, their beings, their you know, the decorations. I've spoken to name's gone out my head. It's ridiculous. Mandisi Subanda, who is a young filmmaker, young director, who's founded his own productions, Manster Productions, and he is doing his own thing, basically. He's like, I've just finished university. My goal is to win an Oscar, and I'm owning that, and I'm doing it. And it was just really inspiring to listen to his goals and his dreams at the beginning of his journey. I spoke to Olivia Dickinson, who works in inclusivity and about encouraging the representation of genders equally. So not pink for a girl and blue for a boy. And she really pushes that forwards. And she was involved in the Let Toys Be Toys campaign as well, which was like really interesting for me before I had kids. I was like, yes.
Absolutely.
Akinshiku, who is a BAFTA award winning director and creative director of the Department of Image, who, I mean, we just solved the world's problems in an hour and a half. It was amazing just talking to him.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And then finally, I'm wondering if I've done 6. I'm trying to think if I've remembered everybody. Finally, I just spoke to Aral C Productions, which is an all-female team. And they're just hit their fundraising target to go out to, I can't remember the country, but to go out and to basically talk to sex worker unions about how COVID has has impacted the lives of sex workers who do not have any workers' rights. And so it was just, I mean, we ended up talking about periods and period pain. It was like, you know, I was sort of sitting there going, am I sharing too much? And then I also thought, well, I would love to hear this. So we'll just keep going.
So Ella wrote the music for this podcast and has written the music for her own podcast and writes theme tunes, jingles, and other kind of pieces of music for media like that. Is that the best way to put that? I suddenly got halfway through that sentence. Yeah. And went, what am I saying?
Film and TV yeah. is what I'm saying, because you're supposed to niche, so.
Okay, yeah, so film and TV, but has branched out into podcasts for the purposes of this. And yeah. a while ago, when we first planned to do this, we did a Facebook Live, which is still available, which was in which we discussed on video. We kind of had like the initial consultation about the podcast music. And since then we've basically had like one or two other chats about it. So most of the process of this music being written has actually been done live for you. because it is such an incredibly complex process. And you know, I have had somebody ask me why I was commissioning music for this podcast, because it's, I mean, a podcast kind of theme or whatever is just a few seconds of music. I think 15 is kind of considered the maximum, really, or the approximate, you know, for a podcast intro music. And so anyway, we're going to now talk about, we've done it now, obviously. So we're now going to talk about what that was like, you know, what you need to know if you're going to commission music. So the conversation we had, I really enjoyed that conversation we had about
so did I.
About sort of what it was going to be like, because my fear as a commissioner was that I was going to be asked to send you some examples of things that I liked, and I was like, oh, yes. I could never do that.
Yes,
I never know what I like, you know, and so on and so forth. And then but yeah, anyway, it turned out not to be like that at all. So why don't you just remind us what that process is like for you?
Asking lots of questions, basically.
Yeah.
Finding lots of different ways around asking you kind of what your hopes and your dreams and your fears and everything was with this. And out of it, kind of like just what I get is I just get this blossoming kind of like, oh, I could do this, oh, I could do that. Oh. And we ended up with this picture, which I can actually send to you, and you can, if you want, you can put it somewhere.
Yeah.
That interesting, it's just like a little scribble. Definitely. But basically said how I thought we could do this podcast and music, and the initial concept, which is very different to the final version, but the initial concept was this kind of big kind of explosion of sound, and then Katie's voice in the middle kind of weaving its way out, and then lots of different instruments kind of coming round, and this very orchestral sounding interweaving of melodies and ideas, and then all converging on Katie's voice at the end. And it didn't happen like that, and I had a lot of worry actually that it wasn't happening like that. While I was writing, I was like, this is not what I said it would be. I'm like feeling very upset about it for me, and feeling a bit guilty as well. But but actually, sometimes what happens with the writing process, and this is from the composer's point of view and not necessarily from the commissioner's point of view. For me, I usually just need to get loads of stuff out my head. Like I'll write three or four different versions, sometimes up to 10, 12 different versions, and just get loads of just stuff out of my head. And eventually there'll be something that the commissioner just goes, ah, oh, that, I like that. And this is exactly what happened with us, isn't it? Because I sent you something and I said, well, you know, the melody is quite catchy. I'm not sure about it, but the melody is quite catchy. Let's see what you think. And then I tagged this little piano thing on the end, and you listened to it and you're like, yeah, it is catchy, actually. But that thing at the end, I love that thing at the end. Can we do something with that? And I went, yeah, all right.
And it's so funny because that the thing at the end...
Yeah,
it's actually what we've ended up using as like the main like introduction to the podcast
as
like that. So and the other, and I'm jumping the gun a bit here, but I realised I've not actually mentioned that. So I thought I'd just mention that. I think I just got the first like finished like cut of the sound with the video. We're in uncharted territory for me here, as you could probably tell. so I think that's what has been gone for, because it's just the other stuff felt so like what I wanted it to be, and then when I heard it I was like, I didn't know this is what I wanted.
Yeah,
this is what I wanted.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's it yeah. I mean, you know, we were in my writing, when I was writing it, and I was just thinking, well, this is a great idea. This initial orchestral idea is a great idea, but I don't have an orchestra, and you are a professional person within the music business. You cannot have horrible synthy sounds doing this for you. This is the whole reason why you're commissioning. So, and you know, there are certain things you can get away with using sampled libraries. And you know, there are certain things you can't get away with because they just sound awful. So that's why we went in the different direction. And what I found really interesting, what for me found really interesting as part of the back and forth between the two of us, was that I'm going in two different directions with this. So I really want to talk about that scary bit.
Yeah.
I work in a space that has a gamelan orchestra, and there were a couple of gongs in the office. I was like, let's just pick that up and let's do some stuff with that. And then Katie had sent me her voice, and I kind of messed with it. And I was just, this is all experimentation. I have no issue with someone just turning around going, no. I was quite pleased with it. And I'd showed it to my mum, because she works in the office just above me. And so I showed it to her, and she was like, oh, it's really nice. Yeah. And like in this kind of space where I was working on it and thinking about it and experimenting, it was like really incredible. And I really liked what had come out of it. And then I showed it to my husband, and I'm assuming I can't swear, right?
I think you can probably swear.
Okay.
It's part of the story.
Part of the story. And I showed it to him when I got home, and I was like, Jeff, look, this is what I created. And he just listened to it, and he looked at me with a frown and went, Ella, it's creepy as fuck. And I was, what? It's creepy as fuck. It sounds like the soundtrack to Hereditary. She can't use that for her podcast. And I was like, oh my goodness, you're true. Oh no. And I sent you an email at like 11:30 at night going, ignore that one. Ignore that one. We're not going to use that one.
Honestly, I cried with Asha for like an hour. Because what I've been doing is, because I have a real problem with trying to... I've never done a podcast before, and I think trying to work out what I actually, like, what this is going to be like, and at the point of recording this interview, we still haven't launched the podcast, so I still don't actually know what it's going to be like to go on to, like, Spotify and see my artwork and hear my, like, theme tune, essentially, and all of that, and I just can't really picture it. So I'd been sending it to my team, like the things that you'd been sending me, and I'd been going, you know, what's your view on this, because, you know, I like to get a bit of context, and I'd sent them that one, and one of them had gone, oh, it's a bit scary. And I was trying to work out what to say about it, and just then as I was thinking about it, I got that email, and I was like, oh my goodness, thank goodness for that.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, we've been working together we've just passed our year anniversary. We've been working together for a year now. And it's, you know, I was able to just email you, go, no, you know, it's wrong. And that's what's just so lovely about working with someone who you have that good working relationship with, and you know that they'll forgive you for it, you know, and that it's not going to be a black mark against your career, and, you know, it's not going to make a big difference. And what was really interesting is that coming out of that wrong section, there was this kind of pizzicato bass and drum pattern that was kind of offsetting itself, really driving forwards. And I thought, well, I really like that. I want to play along with that. And I sent it to you with kind of like some piano, I don't know what I was doing. I was like, just got to get something done. I have to pick up my kid. It's like the worst timing ever for me. But I've got to pick up my kid in like 10 minutes. I just got to get something done and sent off to Katie. And like, I like it. Don't worry, I'm not sending you rubbish. But like,
I totally get it. We have to be like, honest about these things.
Yeah. best creativity comes in the pressured environments. But and you came back and said, I really like the direction of like, I like where it's going. So from this terrifying, scary, creepy as fuck place came this, you know, something that actually ended up being one of the last things that I sent you. But what
the
I found really
still in it as well.
The gong was still in it. Yeah.
I was like, definitely gonna have a gong.
Yeah. And then I sent you, and you said, oh, it's great, but I think it needs to be shorter. So I shortened it and I changed the little I gotta get something in it piano, made it slightly less manic, and actually synced it a little bit more and made it so it wasn't out of time. And you know, and you came back to me and you said, no, don't like that. Really don't.
completely different
direction. And I feel like what I recognized with that was that it felt like for you, you'd panicked listening to it, and then I panicked with your response. And then when we got together and really looked at the very minute elements of it, that actually it was just this tiny bit of piano that had changed. And just that slight change in energy and that slight change in energy totally destroyed the feeling for you and made you go, no, it doesn't work at all. Whereas when I moved it back to that slightly manic, I gotta pick up my kid, it had a different energy, and you said, yes, let's use this. And obviously that then moved towards the logo, and that then also influenced the logo. The gong, there was a gap between this pizzicato bass and then the logo piano section. And there was a gap there, and you were like, well, it still doesn't fit. So we increased the gong to kind of fill the gap and move it as a crescendo towards this piano bit. And that then became the end logo, including the gong. So all of this thought process, all of these mistakes ended up moving towards that. Well, all of that journey, you had to go through that in order to get what you are now presenting as part of the podcast. So for me, that just, it just absolutely encapsulates how I work, because you have to be willing for the composer to make mistakes. And I have to really try and understand your visceral reaction to what you're hearing. That's actually, you didn't necessarily want me to change everything I was doing and start again. But it was like, how can we communicate with each other to get what we're trying to say? And in the end, it took an hour of us basically talking like this, me showing you lots of different versions and you going, oh yeah, that's better. Oh yeah. Okay. And like that, and that this understanding between the two of us of what was going on.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was really bizarre actually for me to hear what you did was you played the first, you talk about these two versions, the one that I liked and then the one that went to that I didn't like, and you played them next to each other, and you said, oh, we did it a couple of times, and I was like, yeah, that's definitely what I think. I think the problem with the piece of music that lasts a few seconds is that you're sort of like, maybe I don't think that, you know, maybe it's just past, you know, but I was like, no, definitely. And the difference was incredibly subtle. And as you said, like from your, you know, from the composer's side, it was almost negligible, and yet somehow the impact was enormous. And when you think about that in the context of like a film score, the detail and the level of work and the level of understanding of what you can do with the sounds and the instruments and the music and what impact that can then produce for a listener is the ultimate of kind of complex, detailed skill. I nearly said niche, but I don't really mean, I'm not sure about the word niche, but like seriously kind of specialised.
Yes.
And I think that's something that I really wanted to come out of this conversation was to make absolutely clear that anyone listening knows how much work it is to write 15 seconds of music.
Yes.
Because it, I mean, how long do you think, I don't know, maybe that's not a good question, how long it took, or like, yeah, it's because it's more about what it took and how much understanding it took. Yes.
I would say that it took probably of work, and this, I mean, this is a sort of slightly different situation to what I would do if I was working with someone I didn't know, or working with someone can I say it? A paid situation?
We did it as a time swap.
So, yeah. You know, in that situation, I would have a very clear framework, because I, you know, they don't trust me like you trust me. I don't trust you them like, you know, that like I trust you. I had to be able to trust that in the time frame that we have, that you would, it takes a lot to come back to you and go, I really value what you are hearing and your response to it, but I think that actually this is what's happening. Yes. And I was really grateful that you were able to listen and then go, oh yes, you're right. Whereas sometimes you get those situations where you go, I don't think you really can see what's happening from where I am versus what you are experiencing as a consumer. So yeah, so that almost compressed everything. So I think I spent about 3 days total on it, but that was over a period of 2 to 3 weeks. And I think I probably spent maybe a month with it going around my head.
That's the thing, because thinking time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find that with my work as well, in a very different way, but because it's not creating a piece of art, but I definitely feel that there are pieces of work that I do that they just percolate, and that is actually that has to happen. So yes. A very, very clear idea about the way forward might not be possible on the Tuesday, but it is really easily possible on the Friday, for instance. You know, it's definitely
absolutely
part of it. Yeah. But even so, and even given the fast track nature and the prior knowledge of the relationship, 3 days to write 15 seconds of music is probably outside of the, like, people's expectations, I would say.
Yeah. See, I think it's a quite short period of time.
yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's still, and I was surprised at how I work in music, but I found the process surprising in the sense that I hadn't expected, I sort of hadn't expected the impact of what I was hearing to be so difficult for me to understand, given that I understand music quite well.
So
I definitely benefited from and needed you knowing what was going on in my head.
I think there was a point where I was like, I really don't want to patronise you, but
can you? This is the problem. We can imagine how easy it would be to do work if we all just like... and just all knew that we were all too, because, you know, I was terribly worried about saying things that would be upsetting or like I thought loads about what I said in terms of feedback, even though you were sitting there going, just give it a rating out of 10, it's fine. And I was like no, I could possibly.
But it's almost that, you know, it's this thing of when I the last film film person, that doesn't work, does it? The last film director I worked with who had directed and produced her own documentary, and absolutely fascinating documentary. And when we worked together, I had to be very clear with her. I turned to her and I said, you need to feel able to work with me in a way that you need to be able to tell me the things that feel most terrifying telling me. You know, you need to be able to tell me that you hate what I've done, with that visceral reaction. And if you know, the worst thing is when someone is trying to be kind of a roundabout, you know, like, oh, I'm not really sure, it's all right, but like, can you maybe possibly change this? I'm not getting a clear response. I'm not getting any direction there at all. I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know, where if someone says, I hate this, please never show it to me again. It's like, fine.
That's clear.
And, well, you know, I have no emotion. Connection to what I've written. I mean, if it's really great, I might be sneaky and get it underneath somehow, you know, like I'll make it work in a way if I really, really, really like it. And I did push some things on you, but I also said, if you hate it, you just tell me. And it's almost easier than someone trying to be kind. I mean, obviously you don't be like, you're a fool, I hate you, don't work with me again.
Just not got but personal like, with it.
Yeah. Be nice with the criticism, but be very clear with the criticism, because that's the fastest way to get results. Because my job is to create a piece of music that makes your heart sing. That's my job. It's not to make my heart sing. I can hate the piece of music, but you love it. It's like, fine. I'm not happy in that situation. But
I was going to say, I don't know many composers that regularly write music that they end up hating, even if it's not what they had in mind in the first place. I think the other thing I wanted to say about this process is that when we had our initial conversation about this on the Facebook Live, it was so, I wasn't expecting that none of the questions that you asked me would actually be about music really at all. And then when you explained that, it made perfect sense to me that none of those questions would be about music. And what was lovely about doing that together at that point was that basically I'd only just decided to do a podcast, and then I was like, well, I'm going to need some music. And with my music industry brain, I was like, let's get that sorted. And then I was like, obviously I'm gonna ask Ella, because why would I not? And then we have this conversation, and actually it basically acted as like a total, almost like vision boarding exercise for my podcast in general. And it really clarified for me what I wanted my podcast to be. And then I thought that that was kind of emulated again in the process of actually writing the music, because it's like you said, we came up together. I mean, you came up with, and I agreed with this idea of the big sound and then the voice coming out of it. And, you know, that's to sort of signify the messy nature of the music industry. And you know, then, you know, clearly my voice coming and sorting it all out, maybe clearly that's what's happening. And then that didn't turn out to be the way it went. And again, we've got this great piece of music which will get used, I think, within the podcast for which is like this more kind of driven pizzicato strings and bass line kind of section, and I literally love it, and it totally encapsulates that, the thing that I wanted it to, which is being driven and being sort of like forward thinking and forward moving. But in the end, that piano logo, which I meant to ask you to explain what a musical logo is, and I haven't, but maybe we'll do that in a minute. That you wrote, that I didn't ask for at all, turned out to be the thing that spoke to me the most about what I actually want this podcast to be like. Because although I want it to be forward thinking and forward moving and progressive and motivational and all those kinds of things, actually what that piano piece says to me is something about inquisitiveness and space and a bit of beauty. And those things weren't really in the original brief,
no,
but somehow they were actually, you did them and then I liked them, and that was I just think that's like really amazing.
It's all a process. That's the thing. It's all a process. And I think that I would have come up with some completely different music if I'd have written it straight after our conversation, which, you know, sometimes you go, I did have a week there. I could probably have done that. Like,
hindsight is a wonderful thing. I mean, really, all the things I could have done in my life if I'd been slightly more organized and known what I know now.
What was interesting was that, you know, that didn't happen and that music didn't happen. And actually, yeah, we needed all of that process. And you know, in the way that I would work if I was to create a logo for somebody else, is that I would work with them over about 4 weeks and do it where I would give them maybe 6 to 8 different versions. You know, we'd have the same conversation that we did in the Facebook Live. I'd give them maybe 6 to 8 different versions. They choose, I think, two or three out of that. Next week, do a couple more versions of those two or three. They choose maybe one or two if they really can't choose. And then the next week, you know, so it's like, it's still going that process. You still have to get all of those options out of there and find what might viscerally, someone viscerally responds to. And we did it like that, but over a very short period of time, but also extended over a long period of time. Yeah. So it's interesting in that way.
Very interesting. I think, what do you call them? Audio logos or musical logos?
I call them sound logos. They're called idents. And I'm sure there are other names out there for them. A lot of people don't really know what a sound logo is. I've got your sound logo in my head, actually. It's basically very, very short, sometimes just 2 to 3 seconds, probably 6 seconds max, piece of music or sound that is basically attached to a brand and attached to maybe videos or adverts. You'll find them in adverts. So for those who are British based, they might know that, can I do promotion for the...
Oof, no idea. Maybe. Could retrospectively let them know about it and ask them to sponsor it.
Yeah. There are
things... but we can all think of examples, I think, can't we? Of like...
There's a certain fast food chain. So a certain fast food chain, they have it where they started off, actually it's quite long, they started off with a call and response. And, they had a questioning little melody and then they had an answering little melody. And now what they've done is they've got rid of the answering melody. So they have the questioning melody. So they know that you will automatically do the answering melody. So it actually involves that that interaction. And which means that they stick in your brain, basically. That's all it is. It's about sticking music in your brain. I know about, a certain yogurt that has a little vocalized thing. Certainly, I know I could probably say Intel Inside. Everyone go, ding, Intel Inside. These things that you grow up with and you think about this music or you think about that and you sing it, that's what a sound logo is. It's about hooking their product in your brain musically, which can feel manipulative, but all music is manipulative. So it depends.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Whole other podcast topic right there. But it's interesting. I think that branding, visual branding, is something that many businesses, or certainly smaller businesses, don't really know that they need until they have it. And audio branding, similarly, I think it's not in the forefront of people's minds as to how powerful it can be.
No, it's so subtle. Mm. It's so subtle. Everyone's gone, what is a sound logo? And I've gone, well, this is a sound logo. And they've gone, oh, yes, I know what a sound logo is.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So it can be a very, very powerful branding. And it's what I've used in my podcast because, for me, I was like, I want to write a piece of music that is all mine. And this piece of music is going to stick in people's heads. That's my goal for writing.
Your
piece of music.
Podcast theme is in my head all the time, almost as much as Postman Pat. I'd certainly much prefer it. I'm not gonna lie. Well, thank you for explaining that and for going through that process with me. I'm really just thrilled that that I have this music and that we've worked on this together and that we've been able to talk about it and kind of shine a bit of light on this for people.
Me too. It's been wonderful working with you. It's been really cool.
Oh, it's always wonderful working with you.
I'm panicky, being like, I can't let Katie down.
Oh gosh.
I think that's probably where the scary music came from. Like, this kind of, I've got to get it right.
Oh my goodness. Oh no, not at all. It's such a pleasure to work with you and so much appreciated. So I think we shall probably wrap it up there. Thank you so much for coming and talking to me. It's been really lovely to chat.
And you as well.
Great. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening today. To find out what we're up to, do join our mailing list or follow us on social media. And if you'd like to support the podcast by buying me a coffee, you can do that on buymeacoffee.com. Thank you so much. See you next time.